The point is that I had made a decision that there were many, many other things that needed to be done, and that this case we would be able to bring to a successful conclusion through fairly straightforward kinds of legal approach. The sentences were vacated, and two out of three of the convictions were vacated. It was sent back to Barton, which is kind of an interesting contradiction in itself. You want to falsely imprison somebody, that's not a crime. So your judgment is to be relied upon again.
So Barton, you believe, falsely imprisoned you?
That's what he tried to do, right? Give false jury instructions and then sentence to somebody 180 days.
Okay.
That's pretty clear.
So it went back to Barton's court, and then what?
Well, they were very confused. Barton and Keith Lyons were very confused as to why they had gotten a reversal of the decision. So it sort of got protracted a little bit. It finally showed up again this past February, at which time Barton assumed that he had made a deal with the DA and with the public defender, John Thornton. He proposed to sentence me to 30 days in jail for the remaining criminal vandalism charge. And I said, not without a fight. I said, there's no way that you're going to brutalize me, you know, gas me in both eyes, jail me, drag me through this court system for 2 years, and then sentence me to an additional 30 days. I mean, in Singapore, all they do is whack you with a cane a few times and then let you go. But here in civilized society, I'm not going to put up with it, I tell you. I don't know if other people do, but ain't no way I'm going to buy into it.
What was Barton's response to your defiance?
Well, Barton decided that the case had continued too long, and he said, well, you are, in fact, entitled to a sentencing hearing. It's a legal right. You have a right to address the issues as to why the sentence occurred and what the sentence should be and all that sort of stuff. Barton got very upset, and he said, well, okay, you're going to get your sentencing hearing, but it's after the trial. He set April 1st for the retrial of the resisting arrest and the disturbing the peace charge. I might add, he decided to retry a charge, disturbing the peace, that he said in open court he didn't believe that occurred. So we were brought back to the retrial. Now, the latest word is that neither Barton nor Keith Lyon believe that these are particularly good charges to retry.
Keith Lyons is the DA who tried your case.
Right. They don't think so. What they're making noises of is that they want to reinstate the sentence without a trial.
And without a sentencing hearing, or?
Well, I suspect that they don't particularly want a sentencing hearing. Judge Barton, according to John Thornton, feels that all I want to do is embarrass him. And as far as I'm concerned, Judge Barton ought to be embarrassed for the...
I think the county of Santa Cruz ought to be embarrassed to have Judge Barton on its judicial panel of judges. But then again, you got to look at the lineup, and things are pretty bad there. These are DAs from the stable of Art Danner, with the exception of, I'll be worse than they are, former public defender, many faces, McAdams, who's a friendly enough guy on some occasions, but abusive of defendants' rights, abusive of the audience's rights, abusive.
I think that the judges, the cops, the DA, and certainly, you know, Scott Kennedy, who proclaims to be a pacifist, should be ashamed of the kinds of stuff that they should just be ashamed of it. I mean, it's... I will pose this question. You know, with the environment in the country being that... there's not going to be any solution to people's problems. No solution to homelessness. No solution to education. Slash education. We're certainly going to get everybody off welfare by eliminating it. We're going to have jobs? No. What is the answer to all these problems is prisons. More prisons and more prisons. That's what's going on. Now, we're told that this is the attack of the radical right, the extreme right. And in fact, the extreme right is doing it, right? But I would pose the question of, what's the difference between Newt Gingrich and Scott Kennedy? If Scott Kennedy's answer, if Mike Rotkin's answer to all these things that they see in the community that they don't particularly like is jail.
Indeed, Scott Kennedy today, as I pointed out in an earlier part of the program, suggests we need more mounted patrols and we need more private security guards to make sure that the Ford's parking lot is not out of control. Well, that's a police solution, Santa Cruz.
I would suggest that it would be a very good thing and an important thing for people to come down to this hearing, this trial, or whatever it turns out to be, on April 1st at
8:15 a.m.
Right.
8:15 a.m. At 701 Water Street, which is the county courthouse, Department 4, Judge Barton's department. I'm sure it's not Department 3.
Could be. We'll be out front in any case.
It's 3 or 4. Anyway, he'll be out front disturbing the peace or perhaps disturbing the police. Probably not vandalizing a Sentinel box, but I will attempt to be resisting arrest myself, hoping that I can resist that as long as I can. Anyway, this is going to happen at 8:15. Now, what day is April 1st? Most appropriate day, I might add, for this particular kind of charge.
Well, I don't know what day April 1st is.
He's looking at his calendar,
folks. Looking at the calendar.
And while he's looking at his calendar, I want to remind you that we do have an open phone line and that we finally corralled this guy in the studio. It has taken me literally weeks to get this guy in here. Now I finally got him where I want him. Call in and give him hell. What is he doing harassing the Sentinel with a magic marker? How can he conceive of disrupting the peace of Georgiana's Cafe? And what does he mean by standing in line and refusing to move and producing pepper gas problems for the poor customers of the coffee roasting company? I mean, here is a man who deserves every day of those 30 days they're going to sentence him to on April 1st. Perhaps we can go in and lead a lynch mob, grab this man from the court's custody and give him the punishment he really deserves. Maybe a toga party.
April 1st is actually on a Monday.
So actually, that's a week from next Monday is April 1st. So put it on your calendars, folks. 8:15 in the morning, come to court. Look for David Dumars on the court calendar, or just look for the big guy with the receding hairline and the attractive smile standing up haranguing the masses in front of the court building. Again, this is an important issue because we're talking about a case that epitomizes the whole downtown ordinance anti-homeless syndrome, the whole police abuse, police make-it-up-as-you-go approach. There were no downtown ordinances other than the sleeping ban and certain discredited codes which were improperly being used to drag people away from the vigil. When one man spoke up about it in a loud voice, he was pepper-gassed on two successive days and has faced 2 years in court. Anybody who supports the sleep-out at City Hall has to support this man's resistance to the abuse of the police, the abuse of city government, the abuse of the county DA's office. And really, I mean, I would have to also add to that the merchants downtown who, I haven't heard of any merchant campaign to free David Dumars, have you?
No.
You know, and I think that if merchants are going to call for additional restrictions on the public in terms of their own narrow private financial interests, they have an obligation to speak up for the rights of the public on the other side of the coin, to speak up for the rights of individuals to engage in normal First Amendment activity, to speak up for the rights of homeless and poor people to exist, to engage in normal public association on the streets, not to be arrested for sitting down, not to be selectively harassed for protesting peacefully. If merchants stand up for all these things, then certainly we can have some sympathy when they are concerned about, you know, people uglifying their buildings by unfortunately hanging out in their native poverty and their natural the penury that happens in our society in 1996.
I would like to suggest that there's a number of reasons why people should come to this court, in addition to what you're saying, Robert. And I would like to suggest along these lines. I'm an activist. I'm a member of a group called Refuse and Resist. It is my opinion, and it certainly is the analysis of the group which I belong to, that this particular period of time we are facing a rather disgusting and horrendous series of attacks coming down from the highest authorities in this country, not only from the city. And if you look at individuals like Pat Buchanan, it is my opinion that he doesn't just represent his own fascistic approach to things, but what he is doing is that he is carving out the road down which a whole array of political hacks, Democrat and Republican alike, are going to be traveling. I'll give you a specific example here in Santa Cruz. The answer, you know, from certainly from Sacramento and from Washington is that the only solution that we're going to produce is jail and in prison. And that is what the local authorities are offering. In the particular ordinances that you raise and that were protested quite vigorously 2 years ago, there was an ordinance which I took particularly umbrage with, not because it's something that I would suggest people do, but because it really kind of, in a certain sense, to me, crystallized what this whole thing was about. And one of the ordinances said that you could not go down to downtown Santa Cruz or anywhere in Santa Cruz, and you could not defecate, you could not take a shit on the sidewalk. Now, I'm not an advocate for people to be allowed to defecate or to take a shit on the sidewalk. I don't advocate that. In fact, I would suggest that most people do not engage in such activity. The point of it, of that particular thing, is to paint a picture of the homeless and the destitute in this camp as being less than human. It is an ugly example of the kind of bigotry that is promoted. And it's the particular brand of bigotry that Rotkin and Scott Kennedy have gotten particularly good at in this city. Mike Rotkin has recently come out in opposition to drumming. It's too noisy. But what is occurring is that very, very sophisticated political hacks in influential areas, you know, all the way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. to downtown Santa Cruz, are finding new excuses and new justifications for imposing prison and police and jails as the answer to whatever they see, the answer to youth being out of control in this society is to throw them in jail. The answer to youth doing things you don't like is to impose a curfew. The answer, because there's all these drug dealing youth down here at Ford's parking lot, is more police. And that's the answer that they got. And there is a certain unity. There's a certain unity from Sacramento to Washington. Whatever the justification and whatever people say, oh, you know, I really do care about the homeless, there's a certain unity in the answers that are being put forward. It's very consistent and very across the board. In this context, there are huge numbers of people in a period of time between now and elections in which you're going to see even the president and the Congress trying to politicize people, there are huge millions of people saying, what in the hell is going on, and struggling to come to terms with answers to these problems, whatever answers those may be. If you come forward with answers or with resistance to the plans that Scott Kennedy, Mike Rotkin, Governor Wilson, the cops, the president, and the Congress, if you come forward with answers, if you come forward with resistance to what you can expect to be attacked, you can be expect to be jailed, you can be expect to be penalized. And that needs to be opposed, because it is right to resist these things. especially in 1996. It is right. It is correct to do it, and then it is correct to defend it. And that's what occurred 2 years ago. People did. People just sat down on the sidewalk.
And that's what's happening every night at City Hall in the 22nd day of the sleep out at City Hall, which is happening even as this radio broadcast goes on. Indeed, I want to remind our listeners that the sleep out needs your support, not merely at night, but during the day. Just as David Dumars is going to need your support on April 1st at 8:15 when he goes before Judge Barton again after a two-year ordeal, he's going to be charged and he's going to be confronted with yet more of an ordeal. It's more likely that Barton will blanch from this abyss if there are people in the courtroom who he sees as community members watching him, including video photographers, including audio reporters, including people from Free Radio Santa Cruz, perhaps people like Skidmark's Bob Duran, who are actually present during some of the events that happened. I showed up shortly afterward on that day, but I wasn't there when it actually happened. In the meantime, BD, how can people support you in other ways? Any suggestions? Is there a number they can call? Do you want them to call my Huff line, 423-HUFF, and leave their name and number and offer to help?
I think that would be fine. It is my personal opinion, and it is also kind of the approach of the group that I belong to, Refuse and Resist, that if you want to come to terms with whatever abuse it is that you're dealing with, the issue of homelessness, the issue of political harassment, police murder as occurred just recently in San Jose, or whatever it may be, the defense of abortion rights, that it is my opinion that the principal method or the principal mechanism that you have is to drag these things out into the light of day. That's the principal thing, is to expose what's going on. That is the principal thing. That's the main thing. There's many, many other things that need to be done, but overwhelmingly, again and again and again and again. That's what occurred in Santa Cruz. That's why hundreds and hundreds of people came out to protest these ordinances, these anti-sitting ordinances. There, you couldn't go anywhere in Santa Cruz without involving yourself in this debate. It was being, I'd be riding the bus going somewhere. I'd be at Cabrillo College, and it'd be an issue in the Spanish class, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why things occurred when they did. That's why people came out. That's why, in fact, Barton and Salazar declared two of the ordinances to be unconstitutional.
One.
Was it only one?
Yeah, oh. Just the sleeping ban. I mean, just the sitting ban.
Just the sitting ban. In any case.
The sitting ban is back, as I said, under a new law by Kennedy and Rutkin, which was passed at the same time.
Right. But the point is that if you want to back them off, these kinds of things have to be dragged out into the light of day and shown to be what they are.
So what number can that you be reached at, or should I say, can Refuse and Resist, if people want to join that group and look at it more closely? Can they call?
Well, we don't have a phone number. We got a P.O. box.
Give a call to 423-HUFF if you're interested in Refuse and Resist, in supporting David Dumars, or possibly in giving me a large sum of money. I could always use such a sum of money, and I won't tell you what I'm going to use it for.
Buying magic markers?
Possibly so, but hey, I'm not calling the Sentinel on this one. David, are you anything more you want to add before we turn? We have about 15 minutes left in our show, unless we get some unusual extra time. I don't think that's likely to happen, but who knows? You never can tell. Things are always chaotic here at Santa Cruz, Free Radio Santa Cruz. But you're listening to, by the way, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Call in line 427-3772. It's your phone. It's your station. Let's have one of your calls, gang. Come on. While we got David in the studio, lambaste him. Tell him what a dog he is for not being an advocate of nonviolence, particularly. Although he wasn't charged with any violent crimes, I guess he was charged with resisting arrest, which is, I guess, has a violent sound to it. But in this case, it involved what, you're moving your arm 3 inches or something like that?
Well, one of the reasons that they did finally release me on OR is because in the police report, they said, no, he didn't hit us. No, he didn't spit at us. He didn't kick us. He didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. He just wouldn't go with us. Mm-hmm. And and there was no basis for any charge of a violent outburst or anything like, except for Stuart Martin's testimony, which became pretty ridiculous.
Which is completely trustworthy. I resent your attacking the character of Stuart Martin. By the way, did you see about his recent rescue of this this woman in the paper? Did you read that article?
No, I have a tendency not to read the Sentinel.
I see. Well, actually, it was in a letter to the Sentinel, and then it reappeared, I believe, in the Metro, or maybe. The Metro, of course, is the same paper that gave me the honor that I have long coveted of most irritating man in Santa Cruz.
Well, congratulations. I think that's an honor. I mean, I think from the Sentinel, it's...
I was kind of swept away by it all. I still haven't recovered, frankly. But we're not getting lots of phone calls on this line. Could it be that someone, perhaps the police department, is interfering with the Free Radio Santa Cruz signal? Could it be people are getting so tired they're falling asleep at midday because of the sleeping ban? Well, whatever it is, I guess what we'll do is we'll move on to the next segment of the show and hope that if you hang about a bit, David, there'll be a few calls. Maybe not. We'll see what the story is.
I would I would like to say that you asked a question where we had met, mm-hmm. sort of at the beginning of this whole thing, and actually we first really sort of got to know each other a little bit was at the vigil that Wonton Dave and at the town clock opposing U.S. intervention in the Gulf War.
Genocide in Iraq.
And I think that that's a useful thing to like think about, because in this kind of the kind of country that we live in, the kind of area that we live in, there's kind of this episodic sort of up and down in terms of the struggle that people go through and that people engage in. In 1991, people should not forget, it was actually in the summer and fall leading up to the winter of 1991, millions, literally millions of people across this country and around the world, but across this country, opposed the U.S. War in the Persian Gulf.
You mean 1990? It was 1990, and then the actual war was in January.
January of 1991, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we saw... around the videotape beating of Rodney King and the resulting police trials and whatnot, we saw rebellion break out and protest, certainly centered in L.A., but across the country, including right here in Santa Cruz.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah.
We've seen around 187, the attack on the immigrants, where literally high school students and middle school students right here in Santa Cruz walked out day after day after day. And, you know, in L.A., San Francisco, across the state, you've seen these kinds of things. I think this is a period of time that we're involved in where you may see that kind of thing again. And to those who would really like to take on this stuff, the camping ban, tax on homeless in general, or again, whatever it is, you need to prepare now to be in the best possible position for this thing when it may or may not break out. And I think that there's a really good chance of it. I mean, these elections promise to be downright ugly. Downright ugly. And people are really, really wondering and questioning what in the hell's going on and really looking for things, you know, ways to address the issues.
Hey, you heard it here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Possibly we can persuade David to put his sleeping bag down in front of the city hall, or if not, just come on down with coffee, David, and chit-chat with the rabble that remains in front of city hall.
Oh, I'll be there.
You can also, of course, give a call to the city hall sleepout, 425-9679. That's let it ring about 10 or 15 times, and ask for someone from the sleepout and come down and talk to them. They need your help. They are the latest incarnation of the peace vigil that Dave Dumar here essentially got pepper gassed for, was thrown to the ground for, was jailed for, and is still going to court for and faces further jail for on April 1st. Again, on April 1st, show up at Department 4, Judge Barton's case, in the case of David Dumars, D-U-M-A-R-S, and show by your presence, show by your solidarity that this is an issue that is important to you. Normally, courts are a complete waste of time. Not even normally. Almost all the time, courts are a complete waste of time. But David Dumas is not a complete waste of time. Mostly a waste of time. No. He is a man who has been fighting for basic justice. And he's done so in a very high-profile way. And he needs the rest of us, who may not be so high-profile, present company excepted, of course, to be there for him. Because unless those of us who are low-profile hold up the people who are high-profile, they get dragged down, and they got nobody up there to stand up for those issues. And then when we stand up, there's nobody for us. It's an old story. So, I'm now going to turn, unless you have something more to say, David, to the Street Sheet, which is not the Street Shit Sheet, but the Street Sheet, a publication of the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco. The March 1996 issue. This is a paper actually sold by homeless people on the street corners of San Francisco for a buck a piece, and I was able to codge one off the office. I'm still waiting for the previous 2 months so I can actually brief myself on what's going on. But there's some interesting articles. There's, for example, an article called The G.A. Shuffle. No, actually, it's the G.A. Soufflé, sorry. And it reads like this. There's been a lot of discussion recently about the General Assistance Program. In Sacramento, politicians voted to deny aid to people for 9 out of 12 months, arguing that given enough incentive, poor people would become cigar-smoking millionaires. The lawmakers must have forgotten that logic when they granted 15% tax subsidies to banks and corporations. To shed some light on what it's like to try to get assistance, we offer you this tour of the bureaucratic hell known as GA. You've put off applying for general assistance for weeks, but now you have no other option. You've got no money for food, no money for rent, and no money for nothing. So you've swallowed your reluctance and made your way to the GA office on Mission Street. We're talking San Francisco here. Because you live on the other side of town from the city's one GA office, you try to scam your way onto a bus to get down there. But the bus driver isn't having any of it, so you spend the next hour making your way on foot to the halls of GA. When you get there, it's insane. People wait outside for what it isn't entirely clear. Others make their way through the turnstile to get in the building. The rent-a-cops herd everyone through a metal detector and check everyone's bag. Once inside, you're overwhelmed by the bustle of people trying to get what they need to survive. You make two laps around the office before you find a small stack of applications sitting on a table. You pick one up and start filling it out. You answer 20 pages worth of questions in triplicate. Midway through, you look back to the front to make sure that you didn't pick up two applications because the same questions keep popping up over and over again. It seems like the application's built specifically for a person with short-term memory loss, but you plod through. Once you finish filling out the forms, you follow the current of other confused people to window A, where you drop off your application. The man behind the plexiglass partition tells you to come back in 3 days. It's not until you get outside, just a few feet from the cop van stationed in front of the GA office, that you snap back to your senses. That's when you realize you didn't get anything and you'll have to make do until then. You return 3 days later at 7:30 a.m. Your appointment's scheduled for 8, but you don't want to be late since it's your first time meeting your caseworker. You make your way through the cattle drive and metal detector again. Then you take a seat and wait for the caseworker to call your name. You wait and you wait. It's almost 9 a.m. now. A little restless, you try to call the caseworker to guarantee that you got the date right. When you dial the in-house phone, you get the worker's voicemail, you leave a message, and continue to wait. At 9:30, you ask one of the security guards what's up. He says you just gotta wait, so you sit back down. You are not the only one. Hundreds of others are in the same boat. Some fill out applications. Some are on the phones talking to their caseworkers' answering machines. It seems like no one ever actually talks to their caseworker in this office. Some people wait in the ever-present lines. You ask the woman next to you when her appointment was. She says 8 a.m. The man on your other side also says his is at 8 a.m. Everyone in your area seems to have an 8 a.m. appointment. By 10:45 a.m., you're about to faint because you missed breakfast at the soup kitchen in the rush to get over here. You decide to run to the corner to get a candy bar with your last 35 cents. The sugar rush of the candy bar gets you to noon when they start kicking everybody out for the workers' lunch break. You can't believe this shit and go to window A to find out what's going on. The woman behind the plexiglass ignores you. She is finishing a phone conversation saying, "Yes, Mr. Cahill, we're cutting off as many people as we can." Then she tells you in her most bureaucratic and apathetic monotone that your name was called at 10:45 a.m., but you didn't respond. When you protest to telling her you just stepped out for a candy bar, that you have been here since 7:30 a.m., she says you've been denied benefits for missing your appointment. If you want to get GA, you'll have to reapply. As you walk away, turning in your second application, you think that the newspaper must have been talking about some other GA program when they reported that all you had to do was walk in and pick up a check. You look over your shoulder and add to the words of Douglas MacArthur, "I'll be back, but till then, I guess I'll go hungry." And so the adventure begins. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772. Hey, give us a call. David Dumars is still lurking around the station, probably waiting for some opportunity to disturb the peace. Maybe he can disturb your peace. In the meantime, wait, it's a phone call. Heavens.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert, this is Jumpin' Jane.
Jumpin' Jane, of PIRC, Patient Inmates Rights Collective, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, psychiatric inmates.
Well, I gotta get it together here.
I was wondering, friends have been asking me what to do about their warrants. When they get a warrant, and I'll take my answer on the radio, if you understand the question.
What do you do when you get a warrant? Yeah, sure. I can tell it to you on the air, on the phone. You can ask any more follow-up questions if you
want. Well, I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Jane.
What do you do when you get a warrant? Well, there is a toilet paper shortage in town, but I guess we shouldn't be using that particular tack. When you get a warrant, usually you don't know if you have a warrant, and that's the first problem, because let's say you've gotten a ticket and you don't know if it's gone to warrant. If you've gotten a sleeping ticket, you're supposed to show up within 30 days at the county basement to get a court date. But then frequently when you show up, it hasn't shown on their computers, so you have to show up again and look for a court date later. It's sort of like the GA souffle, only Santa Cruz style, sort of the sleeping ban scam. That's what happens with the sleeping ban. But with warrants, the situation is, if you know you have a warrant, or if you suspect you have a warrant, you can call the sheriff's department. And that's under, you look in the yellow pages under, actually it's the kind of the white pages, the government white pages, the beginning of the phone book. I think it was the beginning of the phone book, it may still be, under government. And look under county government, and then look under sheriff's department, and then look under jail. Or if you want to do, you don't really want jail, you just want sheriff's department generally. You call the sheriff's department, you ask for the warrants office. They'll put you through to the warrants office. Now, they don't have a fix on where you are. You're anonymous from where you're calling from, particularly if you're using a payphone, and you don't, I'm assuming this, even with the caller ID hasn't gone in yet, I'm not sure, but you can make actually they're not usually interested in this, you can make an inquiry. Do I have a warrant? You give your name, you give your birth date, you spell your name, and they'll tell you, yes, you have a warrant. Then you ask, can I be OR, that is released on my own recognizance, released without bail on this warrant? And they will tell you that too. Do I have to go to the jail to get booked? Is there a bail on this warrant? Usually what you can do with almost any warrant for a minor case, this involves misdemeanors, failures to appear in court. For instance, is a very frequent warrant. If you miss a court date, you get it's considered a misdemeanor charge, failure to appear. You call the sheriff's office, and they say, "Yeah, you have a warrant out for your arrest." And you say, "Well, I'd like to come in and set up a court date." And they say, "Okay." And then you come into the third floor of the county building where the sheriff's office is. You walk up to the window and you say, "Hi, there's a warrant for my arrest. I'm told that I can be OR'd. I want to sign up for a court date." And they put you through about 10 minutes later a series of forms. You sign a promise to appear, and you get a court date in one of the local courts. Any comments on any of that, BD?
No, not particularly. Just when you get a warrant, start looking around for your friends, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, the inconvenient thing about a warrant is that you can be picked up anytime the police notice you and notice you have a warrant and put in jail, usually at least overnight, sometimes for a night and a day. And I guess under the new terrorism bill, there may be an expansion of that. I'm not sure if that's actually passed. I'm still looking for more information on that terrorism bill, by the way. If anybody wants to do any research on that, I'd love to get information on the show about the current status of the national legislation against, quote, terrorism. Of course, we're not really talking about real terrorism here, which is namely government terrorism, but we're talking about, you know, Hamas and those guys over in the Middle East that are not really having a great impact on our everyday life, other than giving the police lots of justification for more prison building and more arms requests and more restrictions on the Constitution type requests. So anybody who's interested in doing some work on the terrorism bill and finding out what's actually going on there, wants to get me information from the net, I'd love to have it. My computer is kaput at the moment, and so I need the help of those of you whose computers are not kaput. So, in order to spare my voice, I'm going to turn to a little retrospective, which may be kind of both a retrospective and a preview of what's likely to be happening in the days ahead. Last Saturday, we had a demonstration downtown, which we did a speak out at Friendship Corner at Cathcart and Pacific, and then we kind of marched down the mall and sprawled out in front of the host center, the Downtown Informant Center, and then moved over to the Downtown Management Corporation, Downtown Association, right across from the Coffee Roasting Company, which runs the hosts. And then we went to City Hall and had a sleep out, and it was really quite a nice event. The media covered it. Scott Kennedy felt it was important enough to put his puss right into the cameras at City Hall. And I think that that may be the case again, or perhaps on a broader scale, because we have another demonstration planned for Tuesday. By we, I'm talking about those of us who support the people at City Hall, not the people who are inside City Hall, but the people who are outside City Hall in more senses than one. The people who are sleeping out outside on the bricks, uncomfortably getting arrested night after night to support the rights of the broader homeless community to have somewhere, not everywhere, Mike Rotkin, somewhere to sleep at night legally without being ticketed, harassed, or arrested, as they did to some extent under rather wretched conditions at the Coral Street Open Air Shelter before the Citizens Committee for the Homeless closed it down for their $1.3 million trailer project, which I understand the first trailer has arrived, the administrative trailer, of course. The administrators get their trailer first. My suggestion is people might want to consider converting that administrative trailer to homeless use. It is, after all, on homeless property, run by a group called the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, and in the middle of a locked, fenced-in field, which should be available for homeless camping, as it has for years. But instead, we have people hiding in the bushes, and we have the city council hiding under the rug. There's something else you can do, and I've suggested it before, which is to call city council at 429-3550, or call Mayor Rotkin, slip of the tongue, at 429-3540. I'm switching to the more active mic here. And tell them, San Francisco has a mayor that has decriminalized sleeping, at least has said so. Let's make sure our mayor also does that. Do it today. If you're listening to this show and you haven't done it yet, or you haven't done it recently, do it. Call 429-3550, ask for a council member and say, hey, we want an end to the sleeping ban, at least as long, call it a moratorium if you want, as long as there's no legal place for the overwhelming majority of homeless people in Santa Cruz to sleep. It is inhumane. It's not done in civilized communities. It shouldn't be done here. So I'm going to play you a little retrospective of that demonstration on Saturdays in hopes that it will encourage you to come to the pajama party that we're planning on Tuesday night. It's actually going to start as Tuesday at 3 o'clock at Friendship Corner. We're going to have a snooze and soup supper at 3 p.m. Then we're going to have a sleepwalker's sidewalk stroll at 4 p.m. Then we're going to have a transient trash-a-rama tarry-in, it's not trashing the town, Neil Coonerty. It's not throwing trash all over the place. No, rather, it's people dressing up as trash. and we're going to try to sweep them down the street, as the downtown ordinances want us to do. Then there'll be a sing-out on the streets at 6 p.m., and by that time we'll be back at City Hall, and we can speak back to the council at 7, and then there'll be a snore-in at City Hall at 8. And what that is, well, it's kind of going to be a surprise. We're not quite sure what it is. We're going to see how we feel at the time, see whether the council is taking any action to deal with the sleeping ban crisis. But I would suggest you bring your pillows, you bring your teddy bears, you bring your toothbrushes, ponchos, blankets, bedrolls, hey, slippers, signs, radios, alarm clocks, and don't forget bathrobes, don't forget caps, don't forget nightgowns, and don't forget milk and cookies. Because, you know, the city council chambers can be quite a comfortable place to sleep if you have enough bedding. After all, it is out of the cold. It is under a roof. And I'm sure the city council, in its endless concern for the homeless, understands that if there is no legal place for homeless people to sleep, they have a necessity to sleep. And you might even consider calling the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program and saying, I need a place to sleep tonight. Give them your name. Determine who you're talking to, and that's 423-2367 is the number for the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. I damn well hope I got that number right. 423-2367. It's either that or 427-2367. Again, it's either 423 or 427-2367. And tell them who you are. Tell them you're looking for a place to sleep. So if you then get arrested that night for sleeping in city council chambers, one of your defenses can be, hey, I asked, I looked for a legal place to sleep, I was unable to find one. Anyway, it's not clear exactly what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be interesting. Tuesday, March 26th, starting at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and going until it ends, which may be for quite a while. Just like the sleep out will be going into its 26th day on that day. So let's hear what the demonstration was like last Saturday, and maybe we can get some idea of what it's going to be like on Tuesday, only better.
Okay, it's 1:30, March 16th at Cathcart Pacific, and I'm talking to
John Castelline.
John, you're pointing out something interesting about the Ford's parking lot that you're standing in. We're talking through the wire fence here. Some holes seem to have developed in the fence.
Cars crashing. The sign that's been here, first of all, this property's been sold already,
yes.
So there's no reason for a sign to be up anymore, blocking the place. But second of all, the sign's been, between the weather and cars hitting it, has been destroyed for at least a month and a half. Been sitting here, it's got nails sticking out and everything else, and no one bothers to even fix it.
We're talking about this large, available 408-476-8000 BT commercial sign for sale or build to suit.
Well, the half of it is still standing. The other half laying on the ground with nails sticking up, and it's been laying down there for a month and a half. But
so true urban blight may come both from businesses and from tourists, and occasionally from people leaving their soup spoons around.
Correct. As everyone's helped to clean it up, but it's very interesting that half of the city gets washed and cleaned every single night, but I'll tell you, I've never, ever seen someone come down here and clean this end of it. So if it looks so bad, maybe it's just because it's not being taken care of with the same consideration as the rest of the city.
You're talking about Friendship Corner here?
Yes. And if they think it looks lousy, it's only because they're not doing their job themselves. I mean, every single night they seem to wash all the sidewalks down there, and they clean the whole place up, but I've never, ever seen anyone wash the sidewalks down here. And maybe they're a little dirtier because there's a lot more people down here, but that would just be a little more reason to clean it.
Checking that big
guy. That's it.
Well, yeah, I know that, but he's looking for the hole in it.
Stan. And Stan, where did you sleep last night?
I didn't.
You didn't sleep? What happened?
Well, I returned to my previous abode in downtown Santa Cruz, and to find all my possessions were no longer there.
And where was this abode, if it's not a secret?
Well, I was over the back door of a Channel 7172 public TV station, and the guy told me I had permission to sleep there.
Right.
And so I was sleeping there on and off for a period of a couple of weeks.
Right.
And it was no problem. And then the night before last, a police officer showed up, and it probably was a ruse. He said that there was a young girl he had seen on the street, and he turned around to inquire as to her age,
mm-hmm.
and she'd run off. And he said he thought maybe she was over where I was. Well, I was completely out of sight, but the police officer came and woke me up and proceeded to require identification, which I provided and all that, and he did a warrant check and all that. You know, I was fortunate.
About what time was it?
About 3 o'clock in the morning.
This is this morning.
Night before last.
Night before last. So that was...
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to write you a ticket for camping.
Friday morning.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to write you a ticket. He said, no, I have the right to do that. I won't. He said, I'll come back again in the morning. And he never came back. I didn't figure he would. But the whole thing was he was just checking me out.
Hey, Michael.
So anyhow, I came back last night to go to sleep, and all my stuff is gone. I just seemed to think there's some sort of a connection between his appearance and my sleeping bag's disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So what was the name of this officer?
I didn't get his name. He didn't write me a citation. I didn't bother to get it.
He just harassed you in order to leave?
I was asleep. He asked me for my identification. And I provided it, and then he left. But then the next night, all my possessions are gone. Everything. Even down to the cardboard. Gone.
Have you
I checked the dumpsters around in that area. There was none of my possessions were there, which you normally would think they would be put in. So I'm sure maybe the police picked them up and took them down to City Hall.
How many nights have you been sleeping there?
For about 2 weeks.
And did you ask community TV what they might have done?
The guy came out and he says, don't worry about it. He says, times are hard. You can stay here as long as you don't trash his place. He needed to use those other facilities, you know, in the party, like his back door.
Right.
So I kept the place nice and clean. Only came in at dark and left in the morning as soon as it got light. Never had a problem until a police officer showed up and questioned me. And then the next night, my stuff was all missing. Gone. That's why I don't know. I wonder if perhaps he didn't
Could
have something to do with that.
Well, listen, keep maybe you'd like to speak at the rally. You can speak to people here if you want.
Well, I just was reading this little paper here. It says the police are impounding sleeping bags.
Seems that way.
Right. Since mine were not in the trash can anywhere, nothing was there. I had coats. I had some clothing. I had a couple of blankets, and I had a sleeping bag and some cardboard. Not very sumptuous accommodations.
But it was
but
what
worked.
You had.
They worked. They worked. Right. And I'd done my best to accommodate the people in that building, and they'd done their best to accommodate me. It was working out really nicely. I had a place to sleep, safe, out of the rain. And I was gone during all regular business hours all day. I'd come back around 9 or 10 at night. But last night, at 10 o'clock, there was nothing there. Because I walked out all night trying to stay warm.
You
know, that was it. So I guess maybe I can inquire as to my...
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to...
Oh, no.
Man with a turban.
I'm scared to talk.
They say police are creating criminals.
Oh, police are creating criminals.
Right.
Because it's irrelevant to write you a speeding ticket after you've done the crime, and they want you to like think about your crime after it's done. How are we supposed to go on with a new thought if we've got to worry about yesterday's old news? So the police are creating crimes, and they're not stopping crimes. There's enough crime without police creating crimes.
Thank you.
There we go.
In Santa Cruz, the Winter Armory shelter is closing.
Yet
there is no legal place for people to sleep outside. Hence, people face $162 camping tickets for doing nothing but falling asleep. This is wrong. This is why we're here. Here, here. We had a small altercation here. A man who's drunk, whom I know, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
We gotta get some way to break this up. Eddie Hicks.
I want to hear you.
Well, listen to me. Sing
with me. CNN to harassing people for sitting down on the sidewalk.
I'm sitting here on the sidewalk.
Yes, you are. Why it should be legal for people to sleep at night. It is not legal in liberal Santa Cruz for people to sleep after 11 o'clock at night outside. That makes 500 to 1,500 people illegal.
Illegal.
This makes no sense. We're going to speak out on this issue, and anybody who wants to talk will be welcome, including you. Speak out against injustice. Attention, everybody. Attention.
We need more cups.
Okay,
we'll find out.
All right, folks, we're going to have an on on-the-spot cop watch seminar. I want to know how many people are interested in a little cop watch seminar. Raise your hand if you're interested. There's one. At least one guy's interested in the cop watch seminar. Everybody else interested? All right, it's just you, guy, you and me. Cop watch is where you watch the police, and when they're engaging in illegal conduct, you keep a record of it, you call other people over to watch it.
All right, next time I see
hey, we have a cop right here. There's a police officer over there.
There's like three of them back there.
Maybe we should go back in a small delegation and find out what's happening.
Well, they were.
And we did a cop watch, a brief cop watch, and actually it was pretty mellow. Some police stops are mellow. And then shortly thereafter, we continued along the mall and did some more activity. But what I'm going to do now is skip ahead to what happened several nights later. Actually, it was night before last when Sean Alamay was again arrested on the mall. And you'll get to hear first a little conversation about what that's all about, kind of 1:45 in the morning, what we talk about at these sleepouts. And then you get to hear the arrest of Sean Alamay.
First, probably about 1:45 in the morning at City Hall. We're at the end of sleepout. It's in the early a.m. I'm with Sean and Dan Hopkins, and Brooke is packing up his musical instruments, kind of getting everything tarped up in a mobile shopping cart type operation. Dan is trucking off into the boonies, probably to take a little pee-wee, since they aren't opening up the bathrooms around here, but luckily it's not as cold as in previous nights. And Sean is on the job drinking Big Brew and perhaps awaiting another arrest, because he was arrested for the first time. He was arrested twice in one night, as well as given a ticket. Two misdemeanor offenses were charged. And
I've been arrested before prior to this.
Right, but you haven't been arrested twice in one night before.
Well, I was trying to get it four times, but they wouldn't let me out early enough. One, two, I was lying down all afternoon. They never came by bothering me with camping. Just basically, that's what they charged me. I was doing the same exact thing.
It could be they're tired of you, or maybe you're too tired for them, or time to retire. Anyway, I suspect they will come after you tonight, particularly since only two people are here. I could be wrong. Were there more people earlier? Did you were you awake in the early evening?
Yeah, no, there were some people going to take a break. They needed it. Hopefully they'll be back early in the morning.
Gotcha. Well, here comes that Dragon's Heart Dan zipping out of the bushes. As I said, I met with the Homeless Community Resource Center board. We urged them to, at Karen Gillette's suggestion, we came and presented a proposal that they recommend to the mayor and city council an immediate change, or at least a moratorium on the sleeping ban, letting at least the people here have the same leeway that the people in San Francisco have, not be arrested for sleep. Arrest them for tent. Let them shiver in their coldness, let them get wet, but for heaven's sake, don't arrest them, at least for sleeping. And they nodded their heads, but they didn't say anything. And they also had a closed meeting. So we tried to come in early, and they wouldn't let us into the meeting. And then they made us leave immediately after our presentation. So it looks like the Citizens Committee all over again in terms of its public process, or worse. Citizens Committee at least let you in the meeting throughout the whole meeting. You were at one of the Citizens Committee meetings, remember, Dan, Sean, where they wanted to arrest me, and I called you in, you came in and checked that out?
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, and a positive influence there.
Yeah, it was, but, they asked me, oh, you can stay, but Robert can't stay. And that was Paul Marceau, if I remember right.
Yeah, Marceau is, wrote me a letter to which I'm about to respond, in which he responded to a complaint of mine, which I said, hey, how come you're throwing me out for recording proceedings of a supposedly public meeting? And Dan Hopkins was trying to do the same, and he was threatened at that meeting. And again, we're talking the only service provider in Santa Cruz that really provides any emergency shelter, locking out homeless advocates and threatening homeless people for observing the proceedings. Pretty bad news. But that's an old story. The new story is that you and Dan have been at this for 21 days or 21 nights. This is your 21st night. And at least the 21st night of the vigil, certainly.
We should have a 30-day anniversary. We should have a 30-day anniversary of 1 month walkabouts.
Indeed. I'd have to agree with that. And I guess the 26th will be pretty close to that when we have the demonstration at the city council. So, Dan, how's it looking to you? How are you feeling tonight?
Well, we're all kind of tired, of course, and fatigued and everything else, and all kind of mental states because of the lack of sleep, harassment from the police. But I think my main concern right now is we got to get the injunction to legal aid against this sleeping ban, you know, get a moratorium right away. That's the only way we can fight these people is with their own laws and go through their own legal system. That's the only way we can fight. We can't fight them on our own. We can't think on low levels. We have to think on a much higher level than we have been all the way, you know, all along. We have to go way higher than that, you know. We have to go federal, state, whatever. But we definitely got to get an injunction against this, you know, this junk, you know, whatever.
This junky bear, man.
I believe some of the
judges, local judges, they're going to be supportive of this ban, even though they're just going to be doing their job. But if I remember right, when you're sworn in, you're to support all the common human and constitutional laws.
Let's switch back to the demonstration and listen to a cop watch.
All right, folks, we're going to have an on-the-spot cop watch seminar. I want to know how many people are interested in a little cop watch seminar. Raise your hand if you're interested. There's one. At least one guy's interested in the cop watch seminar. Everybody else interested? All right, it's just you, guy, you and me. Cop watch is where you watch the police, and when they're engaging in illegal conduct, you keep a record of it, you call other people over to watch it.
All right, so next time I see you,
hey, we have a cop right here. There's a police officer over there.
Well, there's like three of them back there.
Maybe we should go back in a small delegation and find out what's happening.
Well, they were stealing backpacks for a while.
Should we go back and find out? Would you like to join me?
I already know that.
Sure. Let's go take a look. All right, so I'll be right back. If I don't come back in 5 minutes, keep going without me. Anybody wants to come along and watch the police? Let's take a look at them, see what they're doing. Hey, come join the cop watch, Chad. We're going to see what this cop is up to. Let's see what the cops are doing. Let's check it out.
We're walking into the Ford's parking lot.
Thank God for the little tape recorders.
Oh, yeah. And going to see what kind of activity is happening.
Yeah, they were stealing some guy's backpack, and the guy came back, you know, all pissed looking for it, and he asked, you know, why the fuck did you take my bag?
Right.
And he said, well, someone might come along and steal it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking,
that's an interesting point of view. Interesting.
This was just a couple minutes ago.
A couple of minutes ago?
Yeah, he's over there somewhere if you want to talk to him.
We can discuss that, but let's see what's happening here.
I talked to the false mayor, Mike Rotkin.
Yes.
This man on the phone. And
you being
asked,
the real mayor, of course.
And I asked him what justification there might possibly be for a police officer stealing backpacks.
Right.
And he said because this is public ground, and if anyone needs their backpack unattended, it needs to be removed so people can walk by and stuff like that.
Hold this for a minute.
That's what he told me.
Right.
And I said, well, there are lots of people hanging out, you know, and they don't want to stand there holding their backpack for hours, so they set it down, and then the cop comes and takes it. So, that's all. Peace.
Citizen observer watching three police officers, two apparently towing a car, and one taking away a suspect.
Yes, that
seems to be what's going on. All right, what's happening here? What's happening here? It's a what?
Yeah, a gentleman got arrested.
Right. Anything he wants to say? Okay, well, we're observing this. Citizens are checking out the scene. I'm sure that the officers are probably doing their duty.
We're on the phone with Bob LaMonica. And Bob, I think you had a particular tribute you wanted to give to those doing the sleep out at City Hall.
Yeah, and before that, to support them moving closer toward the month anniversary, when March 30th happens, it'll be a new milestone. But I wanted to mention seven names, tribute seven people, and I know there are many more involved in the City Hall Under Siege demonstration, but Dan Hopkins, Sean Alame, Robert Flory, Tim Rinker, Al Pop, John Earth, and yourself, Robert Norris.
Well, actually, all the people you mentioned have been spending time overnight. I've only spent one night overnight, so I have to say that The people you mentioned definitely get honorable mention, and I certainly get the most irritating man of the year award. But and you've been there too, Bob. You've been visiting, no question about that.
It's worthy of being supported, and it's worthy of being raised to a priority. It's a basic level, basic issue of human dignity. And I challenge anyone to read the text of the Sleeping Dan and not question the legitimacy, and I use that word particularly, the legitimacy of the law.
Right.
It is insincere. It does not show basic respect for human dignity.
No question.
There has to be other ways other than avoidance and dismissal that there is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'd like to let it go, but those people deserve high commendation by the community. If I might give those six names one more time, Robert. Dan Hopkins, Sean Alamein, Robert Flory, Tim Rinker, Al Popp, and John Earth.
Great.
And I know there are many others.
Listen, thank you very much,
thank you,
Bob.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Running down the road, you can't take a heavy load with you. People come and go, just like a movie show.
But you should
show.
Definitely stay on board for Dean's
oh,
show. Dean's going to be...
And
it is Dean's Psychic Hour, in fact, coming up. And you've been listening to Bathrob Spear's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor in Santa Cruz, every Monday and Friday, normally from 10 to 12. We broadcast, we blast it at you. If you want to be on the air, show up at Taco Bell, 9:45 on the Monday or Friday of the show. That's down at Pacific and Laurel Streets. You can also give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and put some stuff on the air in case you can't come in. We'll play that tape if you just leave a message on the line. And now I'm going to say goodbye. I invite you to come on down and sleep out at City Hall. Day 22, night 22. Call the City Council, 429-3550. Tell them to end the sleeping ban. Make it legal for people at least to sleep as Willie Brown has.
Running down the road, you can't take a heavy load with you. People come and go, just like a movie show. It's true, oh, it's true. And it just could be that they're running to Haley. For all the traveling she had done, Haley was wondering what it was she'd won. The people she had met weren't as they seemed, but still she found one honest human being. Haley, it was Haley.
Break of dawn, talking about a talent show. He said True Value Hardware's proud to present a contest to try your luck. It's a country showdown in Fortuna Town, and first prize is $50,000. So I grabbed my guitar and my cowboy hat, and I dug up my old fry boots. Put on my DC shirt and my Levi jeans. I was going for that loot. I was strumming my guitar all day and night just to practice in for that show. It was the True Value Hardware Country Showdown at the Fortuna Rodeo. Now the Magic Mountain Band would be there. I couldn't give them no slack. And Dale Hustler from Eureka is following with 10 years back. Ilona and Sue were the hometown queens. The competition seemed so fierce. But for 50 grand, I had to try.
try my hand, hey, I couldn't come out the woods. So I grabbed my guitar and my cowboy hat, and I dug up my old fry boots. Put on a DC shirt and my Levi jeans, I was going for that boot. I was strumming my guitar